Imagine learning in a small group, intimate setting while exploring unique European locations. EU VetCE Experiences offers race-approved CE seminars that combine half-day lectures with time to relax and discover captivating cultures. The CE sessions are delivered in English, allowing you to elevate your career while vacationing with loved ones. Experience the perfect blend of learning and luxury at EU VetCE Experiences interactive seminars in hand-picked European destinations. Elevate your knowledge and recharge simultaneously. Visit euveterinaryce.com to learn more.
The consumer is ultimately going to decide what tech needs to be developed and what's useful. They're starting to drive more and more.
Welcome to Vet Life Reimagined. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Sprinkle. Technology is all around us. Our guest today has been a big part of the use of technology in veterinary medicine for a while now. In our last episode, Dr. Aletha Carson talked about being a veterinarian on an IT team, about the evolution of technology, and how to embrace this type of change in veterinary medicine. Today, Matt Russell brings a special perspective. Whether you are in veterinary medicine, or maybe you found this podcast to learn more about the veterinary profession, to understand how to best support it in new and different ways. Either way, you will learn some fascinating things about how technology is transforming veterinary care. We talk about Matt's story into veterinary medicine and the drivers for change in this profession. I asked Matt about what are the challenges from both sides, the startup side and the veterinary side. We discuss different examples, including Matt's most recent award-winning business called Petzl, which is a way to support new pet parents at adoption and giving them a tailored support system. So now let's get to the conversation and learn how Matt got into the veterinary field.
So yeah, my background is a little bit mixed. My academic background is animal science. I actually, years ago, started out in the zoo field, and that's what brought me to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I was with the Dallas Zoo and in their herpetology department, chasing reptiles and amphibians all over the world. And so a lot of fun, but eventually decided I had to make the money. And so I jumped over to animal health. I helped manage some veterinary practices here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know, about 25 years ago as I was finishing up school. And I just noticed a lot of opportunities, you know, in workflow challenges and problems that needed to be solved through technology in the veterinary space. And so over the last two decades, I've done a series of startups. One was in radiology around the time that the vet space was starting to meaningfully make its transition from, you know, analog film to DR and CR. We developed some technology that could digitize film for archiving or for use for teleradiology for practices that hadn't gone digital or who had and wanted to combine studies together. And that was acquired by a large telemedicine firm that it's actually now IDEX Telemedicine. A few years later, I did a client communication platform that, you know, in the exam room, practices could use to bring a wide variety of pathologies to life through animation and illustration, integrated with practice management software. You know, so if you had a dog in the exam room with a ruptured, you know, cruciate, or if a cat with resorptive lesions or whatever, right, you could show, here's that animal's image, here's the normal. And you could easily transmit information back to that pet parent to later be reviewed at home. Patterson Animal Health acquired that. I was with them for about 5 years, led their tech group. And then, more recently in 2015, we launched a couple of other startups, one called our VetLink, which was a bridge between primary and specialty care. So it was a platform that allowed, say, ABC Animal Hospital to get cases over to places like AMC or a Blue Pearl or a Red Bank, and then all that data round tripping on the specialty case concluded back to the referring veterinarian. That's in use in about 85% or so of specialty practices here across the US and a number of global locations as well. We got so good at practice management software integration that a number of companies said we wanted to ride those same rails to better integrate with practice software. And so we spun off a separate startup called Datapoint, which was basically a middleware that allowed companies to integrate into PIMS. And those were acquired by IDEX in 2017. And from there, I spent about 5 years at IDEX in software business development and strategy. Left IDEX middle of last year and crazy enough to start something else up, which I think we're probably going to talk about in a little while.
And it sounds like you've been a huge part of the evolution of technology and growth of technology in the veterinary profession. So I think that's really cool to talk to you. And thank you so much for all of that. But I'm kind of curious, as you've, you know, done this yourself, and I'm sure been aware of other things that are going on when it comes to technology in the veterinary space, is there something that you see that kind of sparks this change?
Yeah, there's been a lot of change. And, you know, my focus has been in practice software, right, that helps drive business, the clinical workflow. Right, there's a lot of technology in practice, you know, in practices is biotech with vaccines and diagnostics and therapeutics and things like that. And there's your, you know, your practice software that's kind of the heartbeat that does everything from ensuring that appointments get scheduled and medical records get entered and diagnostics are integrated in the workflow and, you know, lots of things that these software systems have to do. And so that's taken a lot of evolution and change over the years. And right, big change unfolding now, going from your traditional on-premise practice software solutions to cloud solutions. You're seeing a lot more startup activity in the space where right, new companies that are bringing solutions that say the PIMS or some of the larger vendors are not providing, and they're bolting on to practice management systems, and which is exciting to see. And there's a lot of drivers for this change. You have pet parents that, you know, the pet generation of millennials and Gen Zs that expect digital experiences, expect more seamless integrated experiences, expect to be able to access outside the traditional visit their veterinary practice and veterinary information and other pet care information within the practice. It just needs to be easier, right, to practice and focus on medicine. And, you know, the more you remove friction and manual process with technology, the easier it is to, right, focus on medicine. And today, with your graduates that expect, again, a more digital integrated experience, you know the challenges with practices being inundated and under-resourced. So we have a responsibility to, as an industry, to provide technology that makes it easier. It's integrated, you know, 5-6 o'clock rolls around. Hopefully you're able to get in the car, drive down the road, and your medical records have all been entered. And if not, you have easy access to them elsewhere. Yeah, it's just a lot of things that are driving the change, and the technology is, you know, there more than ever to be able to support a more seamless experience within the practice.
Yes, I think that's absolutely correct. From the expectation, like you said, from the pet owners who are seeing technology probably in other areas as well, and not to mention we are just naturally advancing more and more in technology so we can utilize that in our own industry. So you mentioned challenges, and I'm sure there are challenges from so many angles when you're dealing with problems and trying to find a solution for them. But I guess two areas that kind of come to mind. One area I would see is in the people who are, because you said there's a lot more startups and people coming into the veterinary space trying to offer solutions. Are there challenges that you see in people who are trying to enter the veterinary space with new solutions? And then the other area that I'm curious on your perspective are, what challenges do you see
in the veterinary world when trying to introduce this? And maybe that's like, are people worried about new things and change? And so from those two perspectives, what challenges have you seen over time?
We would like to thank our sponsor, VetBadger, the all-in-one practice management software that puts relationships first. Created by working veterinary parents, VetBadger provides all the communication, team workflow, and medical management tools you need to run an efficient practice and get home to the relationships that matter most. In support of parents in VetMed, VetBadger will be offering a signed copy of the book, Pregnancy and Postpartum Considerations for the Veterinary Team, by Emily Singler, to everyone who registers for a demo between Mother's Day, May 12th, and Father's Day, June 16th. To register, visit vetbadger.com and find the link in the description below.
You know, I'm fortunate having been doing this now for over two decades and launching another startup where doors tend to open a little faster and connections tend to get made or are already there. And those are big hills to climb for new emerging startups, just to understand the space and how practices tick. And I go back again to 25 years ago and working in some practices, and I don't think the last two decades would have been nearly as successful. I didn't understand how practices work and the challenges that veterinarians and their staff have and their pet parents have. And that is a hurdle for just the next startup that says, I want to do, you know, a pet bed app, and I want to be the next fur baby app. These are good, talented people with the right aspirations. But once you're in this space, you know, I could never imagine leaving it. I'm a lifer in this space. But getting in and really understanding it, and there's a lot of, you know, similar challenges across other sectors. And a lot of people say, oh, the vet space. And so it is unique in many ways as well. Because if you think about what happens, right, in a full service, you know, veterinary practice, veterinary business, it's everything from the tip of the nose to the tip of the tail and everything in between. And it's, you know, you've got these businesses that have, of course, the important medical component and services that they're delivering. They may have an attached daycare and grooming service. They may do boarding. They may have retail and OTC availability. And it's a lot of things that happen within a veterinary practice. And you layer on the emotional things that happen in a practice, and the fact that they're under-resourced and everything. It's like there's a lot to understand when you are trying to figure out ways to solve problems for veterinary practices and in a very thoughtful way. Because a lot of startups come in and introduce things that were not necessarily well thought out, aren't necessarily well integrated, and therefore they get weeded out, they fail. You know, there's a lot, it's slowing down a little bit, but there's been a lot of feverish interest in this space from investors, institutional investors. So a lot of companies have come in and have been funded, but you don't know the space well. Yeah, you're not going to develop the technology that's needed. It's also challenging as a fledgling startup that may not know the space well to accelerate, in getting to the right contacts and motivating bigger companies that you need to integrate with to be successful. It's still a space that if you're an app developer, right, you can go do an iOS or an Android app, and you've got Apple and Google that provide, right, the API libraries, the ability to do that. And we're still in a space that's behind on, I'd say still significantly behind on integration capabilities. So there are hurdles, there are technical hurdles, because just about everything that gets introduced has to connect to that heartbeat of the practice management system. And if you can't do that, and you introduce something that requires double entry, manual process, right? That's just adding friction to the workflow. It's not going to succeed. So that's a boulder that a lot of fresh startups have to try to overcome. And you know, I get both sides of the equation for your large practice management software companies who do provide integration capabilities, but may not be necessarily as advanced or as open as they, you know, always should. They've got big complicated roadmaps and they're supporting other core strategies. And so it can be, you know, all of that kind of mix up can be challenging to get in and understand the space, integrate and deliver, you know, the best product possible. That said, right, there's a lot of great startup activity that's cracked the code and new exciting things that are being introduced that, you know, help practices, you know, succeed and work more thoughtfully, focus more on medicine, get out as close to 6 o'clock as possible. And so, yeah, it's been exciting to see all of this unfold, to be center stage with some of it or have a front row seat to other things. You know, on the practice side, when it comes to change and adopting new technology, I think there's more of an appetite than ever. There's generational shift and younger veterinarians that expect digital experiences and integrated experiences, and they certainly see, right, they've got this in their hand all day, and, you know, they know the power of that. And therefore, they know, you know, what technology can do to have them, you know, practicing better, you know, medicine, gaining efficiency, delivering, right, better experiences for pet parents. All that said, right, it is an industry that is a little slow to adapt and change. And so one of the biggest struggles is, you know, you might have the best next app or something that's really going to have a positive impact on the practice. But if you're not delivering that, implementing that, you know, onboarding your customers in a very thoughtful way that you know, keeps change management in mind and making sure that it's easy to get on board, it's easy to pick up, you know, you've got a system with a UI UX that's easy to learn quickly, you're gonna have challenges. You know, you can deliver great tech, but if your change management approach isn't right, you're probably not going to succeed.
I caught something that you said, and you said something about once you've gotten into this industry and the veterinary industry, you know, you don't want to leave it. So what is it about the veterinary industry, despite all these challenges you've just talked about, what is it that keeps you wanting to stay here and create new things to help the industry?
Veterinarians are great people. Wonderful, you know, present company, right? The industry folks, the veterinarians. And if you think about why they got into it initially, right, to help animals and deliver great healthcare to animals. These are people that are genuine, have their hearts and are in the right place. You know, that poses some challenges too, because they're not always, they'd all admit it, they're not always business minded. And, right, you've got to pull them along in some areas. But veterinarians just tend to be great people. And they're just, you know, they're fun to work with. And so, I mean, I've over 2+ decades have gotten to know a lot of phenomenal veterinarians and practices and, you know, support staff and folks that have made the leap over to industry. So, yeah, I couldn't imagine being in another world.
Well, I can't disagree. I think that veterinary medicine does attract some really amazing people, whether it's the veterinarians or our staff or even people like yourself who come into the industry from other angles who help support it. I think this really is a place of special people for sure. So, you know, coming back to, you started a brand new endeavor again after doing quite a few different projects and working with large people in the industry. What problem did you see still needed to be improved upon, or at least the solution to be improved upon, that inspired the creation of Petzl?
You know, veterinarians have, I think, a very unique opportunity, not just to be healthcare experts, but also, you know, pet care experts as well. And there are a number of apps and platforms out there that aim to help veterinarians have a year-round dialogue with pet parents outside of traditional visits. And these pet vet engagement systems, they do a good job delivering on the table stake healthcare functions, health service reminders and medical record access, e-booking, features like that. They do a good job. They have talented teams, but you know, they deliver other things, healthcare content, you know, next heartworm article or the next flea tick or dental health article, and all important things. But they're all things that pet parents care about a few times a year. You know, and so none of these systems have really, none of them have really cracked the code on, you know, nurturing a year-round dialogue between veterinary businesses and the pet parents they serve. None of them are getting picked up on, you know, let's not even say daily, but weekly or monthly basis and being used, right? You don't typically need to look at your pet's medical record or book an appointment with that frequency. And so I know the space well. I've analyzed, I've landscaped it for various companies. And I think there's a huge opportunity to deliver a platform that helps veterinary businesses have a more meaningful dialogue and be more involved, not just in health, but general pet care. That's really the genesis of Petzl. Petzl is going to differentiate in a few key areas. It is going to directly integrate near real time with shelter management software. So we're going to be able to start, you know, having an impact and developing relationships with pet parents pre-vet care. So they understand the appreciation of healthcare and we can drive them towards veterinary practices because we know who they are, when they reside, and adopted. We can do it in a species, breed, age, geo-specific way. We can get them opportunities in, you know, convenient radius around their home, and we can, through integration between shelter and practice management software, have medical record continuity. We can do some really interesting things in a very influential period where their pets' health and care is super top of mind, right? They just adopted that dog or cat. There's lots of questions, lots of things to figure out. And so, yeah, we're gonna be deeply integrated at the point of pet acquisition, and we're going to deliver an experience that is a really compelling blend of both health and pet care and pet lifestyle functionality. Major investments being made in both text and video-based content, which, nothing terribly unique about that, but if you can do that in a way that is tailored to that pet parent and that pet, because you have the data to do it, that is pretty unique. And if you can then connect, right, that pet parent with, you know, the best brands and services, and there's a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah. When you started saying that there's a gap in being able to stay connected, you know, the veterinary or medical care and the pet owner on more of a from daily, weekly basis, in my mind, I went, there's a way to do it outside of dancing on TikTok or on Instagram Reels. So I'm sure veterinary teams are extremely ecstatic for you to offer something besides them being on TikTok. So,
but it's going to take some of that flavor though, too.
Yeah.
It's going to take, you know, there's so much of the content out there that's being delivered in the vet relationship. It's like a pet parent isn't going to read a 5 or 6 page article on heartworm disease, heartworm prevention, right? It needs to, sometimes not going to read at all. It needs to be a TikTok-ish minute and a half, no more than 3 minute right, type video. It needs to be fun and punchy, but deliver the information as well. And so we're working on a lot of things like that.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Do you have any current examples of how Petzl has helped veterinarians better engage with their clients and improve collaboration?
We're in build mode. So we're focused first in this initial phase. Petzl launched in January, and we're focused initially on the pet acquisition, pet adoption experience, post-adoption, I should say, right? As they're driving down the road from the shelter, what can we deliver? Because we integrated with shelter software, and we want to get them to vets and into the vet software. So the post-adoption experience is about 75% developed, and it's leading up to a pilot that will begin mid-September with 15 of the largest animal shelters in the country, some of the largest, most progressive, high-volume shelters. We've got those lined up. We've got some great partnerships lined up, because at the point of adoption, there's a lot of things that need to happen, and it's all done in a totally analog way. Right now, it's a folder with a medical record snapshot and, adoption contract and educational resources, important things, but stuff that gets left through the car and left at home, doesn't make it to the vet visit. And we're going to be able to, digitally streamline all of that. We're going to be able to help shelters become ethical influencers, not spammy or commercial, but ethical influencers at the point of adoption, because they want there to be diet continuity. They want to make the next bag of food seamless through auto ship, or they want to make sure that they stay on that heartworm, right, or flea tick preventive. Mixed breed being adopted, they want to be able to recommend a reputable DNA kit, and they want to participate ideally in those transactions. So it's funding opportunities back to the shelter. We're doing all of that through the Petzl post-adoption experience, and serving up to pet parents, veterinary opportunities in their area. So this is all leading up to our pilot launch in September. So you'll have to have me back at some point to re-ask that question. But yeah, we've got a team, working hard to build it, and lots of excited shelters, veterinary partners.
Yeah. Well, and I've also learned in entrepreneurship, you have to test and try and learn a lot really fast. So I'm curious, in all of this work, is there anything that you've kind of learned, whether it's about shelters or anything in this new endeavor, that kind of surprised you?
I knew there would be opportunities, where shelters wanted to be more involved in influencing, products and services to get the parent better prepared. But the appetite for that's even more significant than I even thought. My experience has all been, purely kind of on the animal health, the veterinary side. We've got great advisors and also a co-founder who has incredible animal welfare background and expertise and connections in that space. And as I've kind of dived in with him and the shelters, just to really see what they go through, the friction and the adoption workflow, the opportunities there to help solve, for some of that, in partnership with great companies doing great work and shelter software. It's been very eye-opening, because there's a lot we can do there to improve, and again, motivate pet parents to better position them for their care journey. If we do that, they're less likely to boomerang. They're less likely to surrender. So I've learned quite a bit more than I've ever known about, adoption and animal welfare and, the opportunities there, and kind of diving into numbers of whether it's surrender rates and why are pet parents surrendering. And a lot of times it's just because they're not well prepared, didn't have respect for what right, that pet care journey really looks like. Earlier, where we're integrating with digital dog training platform, it's like, you know, 60% of the dogs that get surrendered, it's because of behavioral issues. But there's all sorts of opportunities to, right, to better train. And if you want to do it from the comfort of your home through a digital tool, or you want to use a local resource. There's just so much. We knew this would be kind of a key pillar of differentiation for Petzl. But here in the last 6 months, it's just the opportunities have just kind of ballooned and what we can do to help complement the technology that's already in shelters and build that bridge, much like we did, you know, between primary and specialty care with our vet. There's a lot of parallel, actually. Yeah.
That's super exciting. And I completely agree that there's still probably a lot of room for opportunity in that either early or even before adoption phase of supporting pet owners on kind of what to expect and how to prepare. So they kind of have this buddy along the way, because even as a, you know, a veterinarian, going through puppy stage is not easy. So, so there's still challenges to pet ownership where, you know, knowing that you have some support, like an app or something that can connect you so closely to teams of people who want to help, I think is really exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I did want to highlight that I saw on LinkedIn that Petzl actually just received an innovation award. So I was curious, do you mind sharing a little bit more about what that award is?
Yeah, I was at the AHNTI summit in Boston a couple of weeks ago, and there was a startup innovation showcase. I believe they started with about 50 or so submissions that got whittled down to 10 companies that presented pitch Shark Tank-like competition. So everybody got 7 minutes to present and 3 minutes of Q&A from the judging panel. And a lot of great startups, you know, including a good company that developed an at-home, highly accurate cancer screening test for dogs, you know, a new, very innovative approach to automated moist food feeding for cats. That was another, you know, there were just all sorts of really interesting thing, very accurate age detection test is, you know, another start. So, you know, got up and presented Petzl, and I guess it went fairly well. I had some travel challenges that afternoon, so I actually had to head to the airport early. And so I was in the security line, and I got about 7 or 8 text messages all at once saying that I'd won. But I had a couple of advisors in the audience, so I was, you know, one of them were available, went and accepted the award, and it was a lot of fun. It was good, you know, good exposure for us, and great to be there.
Yeah, and actually, that's a great segue, because I'm always interested in other things that are out there when it comes to technology and just, you know, growing this profession. So, you know, maybe even working off some of the things you were able to see at that event, what are some of the biggest opportunities to kind of continue advancing, whether it's practice technology or just technology and innovation in the pet space?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that, you know, are unfolding. And, you know, I think one of the most important things before we kind of get into any examples, you know, we've got to develop great technology that's easy for the practices, of course, to implement and beneficial for them, their businesses. We also, though, have to realize that the end user, right, we're focused on, right, our end customers are pet parents who are consumers that use all sorts of apps and technology in their daily lives to do a wide variety of daily tasks. And so the expectations are higher than ever. They want to do more themselves. They want to do more at home. They want more access from the comfort of their couch. So it's like I've had the opportunity to analyze the telehealth space. There's areas of that space that I might be a little bearish on. There's other areas that I'm very optimistic about. And what that means for the consumer that wants 7 o'clock at night to get an RVT or a DVM on the line and be able to question and get triage support. What can we do to meet them where they are in a way that's integrated, in a way that, is veterinary centric, that drives them to veterinary care? How can we use some of that technology to get more cat owners at least engaging and figuring out, that, hey, we need to get into the practice and seeing. So I think the telehealth space is very interesting and exciting, and still has a long ways to go, though. Pet parent to see it as a regular need, if you will, and realize that it's there. Yeah, there's a lot of great innovation going on with at-home diagnostics. Right? With pet parents, they want to be able to at least have early detection that my cat may have a urinary tract issue because the litter turned a certain color, or I'm using feeding device that's more integrated that detects when my pet isn't eating normally. Or, you've got interesting things going on with wearables, that can detect certain health conditions. And those have been very slowly adopted so far, but the ones that have or 360-degree functionality that help track health, help loss prevention through recovery through GPS, have training capabilities, those are really interesting. And how can we integrate that with the veterinary health record? So, those are some examples of areas that, kind of paying attention. It's like what the consumer is ultimately going to decide what tech needs to be developed and what's useful. They're starting to drive more and more, their pet's health and general care.
That is definitely true. So I think I said this at the beginning, I think it's so important to bring in different perspectives when we're either trying to solve a problem or just continue to grow. And so are there other industries that inspire you or that you look at when it comes to technology innovation?
I think looking at cross-consumer tech and looking at, what your behemoths like Apple and Google and Meta are doing and what's working there, what's gaining traction, looking closely at the rapid evolution of AI. And how does that impact, veterinary healthcare is going to have a ton of impact. Tools like ChatGPT, OpenAI, there's already veterinary applications for those tools. And so looking at those areas and how can we apply them to helping, veterinarians, deliver practice better medicine, deliver better care, and deliver, these experiences that pet parents want.
Yeah. So you brought it up. So ChatGPT, do you feel about ChatGPT? And what is maybe just one of probably the most helpful uses you've seen in the veterinary space?
Still early. The more specific and complex you get with it to output answers and content, it can be challenged. And so we have to be really careful that what it's putting out is accurate in quality. That said, when you think about being able to generate, content's a big component of what we're doing with Petzl. And most of our content, is being generated initially by AI, and then is being expert reviewed by veterinarians and, you know, dental technicians. When you think about how expensive, right, traditionally developing content is, and now you can, right, put together and input into ChatGPT, you know, other tools that, you know, this is the sort of article I want on this topic. Here's going to be kind of your target audience, and I want something that's fun and punchy and bite size, and 10 seconds later, you've got it. And we have found, particularly in generating more kind of like general pet care content, it's pretty good, right? And it requires some, you know, it certainly requires review, and it requires some, you know, some wordsmithing. But for us, it's a game changer on being able to generate volumes of content, because that's what it's going to take to, you know, if we want to really engage with pet parents year round, we got to put stuff in front of them that they care about on a more regular basis. But there's, you know, some exciting things going on, you know, in general with AI and a wide variety of areas, you know, diagnostic companies that can provide diagnostic decision support tools based on AI because they sit on, you know, a mountain of lab and other diagnostic data. There's just so much. It's such an exciting, and innovative time.
It is. I completely agree with you. I am a big advocate of ChatGPT, but definitely check accuracy, especially when you start to get into like medical. I have found that there will be errors, but oh goodness, it definitely helps with speed. Absolutely. And organization ideas. It's great for brainstorming ideas. So I've definitely used it and I am excited to see where it goes. Absolutely. So, we're about to run out of time. So I'll do just kind of a last few questions for you, maybe just to get to know you a little bit better. But I'm curious, do you have any pets of your own?
We've got some adopted cats, but there's five of them actually. we've got more cat household.
You're in good company. There is no reason to be ashamed of five cats. So this is the perfect audience who will understand. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Do you have any hidden skills or interest, any hobbies, anything?
When I'm not doing business travel, I'm traveling all over the world, just exploring areas I haven't seen. And I grew up playing what's now a dying sport, racquetball. So I play racquetball at least 3 or 4 times a week, and that's kind of my my exercise. And
but
I love to eat.
Hey, that's a good one. And with travel too, you can eat well and play some racquetball. Although apparently pickleball is taking over the world, so who knows? But
pickleball is the fastest growing sport. It's again, growing up playing racquet sports, I play some pickleball. A lot of young people getting into it. It's always been seen as like this older retired person thing, but my kids are playing it in school.
Yeah, it's really, I think, touching all generations at this point. So it's pretty interesting. And finally, what is something you are most grateful for?
I've got two wonderful children, my two sons that are 18 and 16, and my family. So first and foremost, right, just, you know, very grateful to have a wonderful supporting family. And just grateful to have spent, you know, now over 2 decades in this wonderful industry that's come so far. And, you know, but as we look through the windshield, there's still tons of opportunities ahead to continue developing technology to help support veterinarians.
This has been the Vet Life Reimagined podcast. Whether you are listening or watching on YouTube, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Please make sure you are subscribed to catch all these amazing people in our profession. Also, send this episode to someone you think who would appreciate it. Have a recommendation for someone who would be a good guest? Please reach out on LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. There aren't that many Dr. Sprinkles. Until next time, Vet Lifers.